former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Hello, I'm Jenny Tunkies, and welcome to Community Matters on WGTD HD 91.1. Today, I am pleased to have as my guests Rita Hagen, Executive Director of Hospice Alliance in Kenosha, and Jenny Sikowski, who's Bereavement Coordinator for Hospice Alliance. We're going to talk about their Connections program, which is a support program for children and their trusted adults. But before we get to that, Rita, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Hospice Alliance.
Well, first, thank you very much for having us today. And I have been the executive director of Hospice Alliance for 10 years this past September. Was on the board prior to me taking that position, and my predecessor had announced her retirement, and I just knew that that was something I had to give a shot for, that that was something I needed to do, being a part of the board. And, of course, as a nurse, I knew so much about hospice. So that's just a little bit about me. And Hospice Alliance, we have been around for over 40 years providing end-of-life care and supportive care management for over those 40 years in both Racine, Walworth, and Kenosha counties. Hospice is really a philosophy of care. It's about helping that patient, but also the family, and I think that's what makes it unique. And in turn, because we kind of come to wherever that patient is, we say we provide care wherever they call home. So that could be an assisted living or a nursing home or their private home. And I think our most treasured place is our hospice house. We have 8 beds where people who are living in their own private homes, when maybe care needs are too great or family lives far away, we can bring them in and help them through with care around the clock for those final days. So it's a team where social workers, nurses, CNAs, chaplains all work together to meet the needs of that patient at end of life and, of course, the family, and to help them on that journey. I think the biggest thing that kind of scares people when they just hear the word hospice is they somehow think it's going to rush that along, and that has nothing at all to do with hospice. Really, hospice studies have shown that people who get signed up on hospice will actually live about 24 days longer than what they initially had, say, predicted for that patient with their disease and what was going on. Because we eliminate a lot of stress. We help with coping. We look at goals for end-of-life care. And so we really try to make that journey that we know is going to happen just a little bit easier for everybody involved.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I think that's helpful to people to get a better idea of what hospice is. Jenny Sikowski, you are bereavement coordinator. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do before we get into the Connections program.
Sure. Thanks, Jenny. So I'm Jenny, and I am the bereavement coordinator at Hospice Alliance. I started out there about 10 years ago as well, and I started out as part of the interdisciplinary team of nurses, social workers, and chaplains. And so I'm, by profession, a social worker, and I learned a lot for the 6 years that I helped to be part of that team by going into families' homes and working in the nursing homes alongside their staff and cooperating with the end goal to give quality care to patients and their families. And after a few years, the bereavement coordinator position became open, and so I applied for that. And it's a lot different than being a social worker on a team before the death of a family member happens. It's much, much different because there's a whole different set of logistics that need to be done after a death that a family has to take care of, and a whole different set of anxieties, I think. So that's how I kind of drifted into that area.
So do you help them with funeral planning, service planning, that type of thing? Or is it really more counseling, dealing with the grief?
No. So So in hospice, so we call it bereavement counseling, and it's important to make the distinction between that and a therapy, because hospice isn't licensed to do therapy with people. But really, I think the best word to describe it would be support. So sometimes people will call, or I call them to check in afterwards. And a lot of times it's a lot of listening. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of listening involved and a lot of information intake. And then referral giving as well, because sometimes people do need or want to further their cares and pay more attention to what's going on with them now that they've experienced this loss. So also we do memorials throughout the year, and now we've started this children's program. So it's kind of all wrapped up into that role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the program we're here to talk about today is Connections, a support group for children and their trusted adults. So when did Connections come to be? How long has this program been around?
Well, we're just starting our second year. It has been something I have wanted to do. I've mentioned to Jenny periodically since she's been in her role. We knew there was a large gap in this community. I'm sure everyone is familiar with Margaret Ann's Place, and after that was no longer around, there really was no place for children. And so, as in sometimes many things in the nonprofit world, other priorities or things came up. But there had been a recent death to someone very close to me who had young children. And I just knew in her search to try to find a place for them that we just needed to do it. And so that's exactly what I said to Jenny and our bereavement coordinator, Beth. Our volunteer coordinator, Beth, and we sat down and started meeting and had a lot of help. We have several volunteers who worked with Margaret Ann's Place. There's a place in Arizona called Billy's Place, who actually Margaret Ann's had given a lot of their information to when they were setting up their place, and they were amazingly helpful. Unity Hospice up in Green Bay also helped us just to have a look at how do we handle this, how do we set up our curriculum. And then really a lot went to Jenny. She put that curriculum together, and we set up a training for our volunteers. Now we're trying to get the word out. So, I mean, but Jenny can speak to the program far.
Were you able to get a grant to support this? Or
We did. We had gotten a grant for our startup from the Kenosha Community Foundation.
Great.
To help us purchase. There's a lot of, I guess for lack of a better term, activities, crafts that are done, and Jenny can explain the importance of that, but we wanted to have all those supplies. We also share a meal, so we set up the grant to help pay for those meals for the family, and just all those things that go with startup, and so we were very blessed to be able to receive that.
Great. Jenny, this program is open to who? Is this just Hospice Alliance clients, or is this open to anyone?
It's open to anybody in the community who's looking for some support for their family.
Right. So Racine, Kenosha, Walworth.
Right.
Great. And are there certain ages or?
There are. We have the curriculum divided up by age so that the kids can be with other, with their peers who are around the same age. So we have 4 to 5 year olds through 8 year olds together. They're called the littles. And then the middles are 10 through 12 year olds. And then 13 and up is our teen group. And then for families who have little ones that maybe they can't leave home alone or they just want to bring with, we have things for them to do too as a kind of a little daycare. So that's how we divide the curriculum, just to make sure that the kids are with other kids their age.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know Margaret Ann's Place kind of grew from the loss of a sibling and how children would relate to that, but then expanded from there. And is that the same with this program? Is it any type of loss, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, siblings?
It is. It's for any kind of, any loss that is important to a family and a child, loss to death, by death specifically.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so this is, how often do you meet?
So we get together the third Thursday of each month, starting in October and going through May so far. Sometimes we talk a little bit about extending that through the year. So we're kind of in that process where we're gauging attendance and finding out interest with the community and so forth. So, but right now it's during the school year.
And it's every once a when is it held?
Yep, once a month on the third Thursday at Hospice Alliance.
Great. And maybe you just want to give people an idea of where you're at.
So
sure. How far they'd have to come.
Sure. Well, we're in Pleasant Prairie. I always tell people that we're sort of in JCPenney's and Target's backyard. That's the easiest way to describe it. We're on Prairie Ridge Boulevard.
Okay, great. And it's from 5 p.m. to 7:45 p.m.
Right.
Once a month.
Right.
And do people need to be there right at 5?
That's best, just because then you get to have our community meal all together. And that really is important because people bond over food. And it's a nice way to break some ice as well and get families and kids talking and sort of loosening up. And then we do a fun sort of game before we break into our separate groups.
Oh, as a big group you do a
game? As
a
big group first.
What might be an example of that?
Well, I can tell you what we did last month. I had a ball. Like a playground ball, and we had several people, adults and children, and so we just threw the ball from one person to the next, and they could choose whoever they wanted to throw it to, and then that person could introduce themselves if they wanted and explain why they're there and kind of what their goal is, who they lost, and then we throw fun stuff in there like what's your favorite food and that kind of stuff so that kids have fun. So that's how we started it out, just as a way for something fun. Yeah.
If someone has a child who's experienced a loss and they think they would benefit from this, you don't just want them to show up. What should they do?
So we like them to call first. I like to have a little discussion with them over the phone so that we have some idea of their loss and their circumstance, and just sort of make sure that they sort of understand the expectations of the program and they know what it's about first. And then we have them sign a little registration and permission slip by the guardian or the parent. Sometimes if the guardian or the parent is unable to attend, then they can give permission for another trusted adult to bring the child. So that's an option too.
That's good, especially for people who work and might not
work.
Be able to get there at 5.
Right.
Great. So without sharing too many details, can you tell us, you know, the kinds of situations people might find themselves in where they would want to use this program?
Sure. You know, I think kids of we experience loss all the time, and sometimes when we have kids who are, we have more children who live with their grandparents now than ever, and obviously the grandparents are a generation older than their parents would be, and so when they die, then sometimes the kids feel like they lost someone very close to them or their parent or maybe the person who raised them. Also, our kids are losing their parents. They're losing them to lots of different disease, lots of different reasons. We have some more unexpected and traumatic deaths in the community, and so that's another reason. And sometimes it's a neighbor or just a friend, and the kids sort of feel alone. And so it's nice to be able to meet other kids who are having a, you know, they miss somebody too, and then they don't feel so alone.
You know, I think previous generations maybe didn't, you know, loss is hard.
Right.
And maybe don't talk about it, don't bring it up. Don't discuss, you know, what? Why is this important, Rita, for people to discuss and participate in this kind of group?
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely correct. We came from generations where you just didn't. And, you know, if it's a parent that's lost, that other parent is just trying to get themselves up out of bed and finish a day, you know, and then deal with the needs of a family. But what can happen and what the research shows is that oftentimes if they don't have that opportunity to talk about that loss and how, you know, what bothers them about it, or to see that there's others that have those same feelings, kids can take other means to deal with those losses, as far as alcohol or drug abuse. We're kind of in a world where things are very competitive for children, lots going on, and so there's a higher rate of, you know, depression and anxiety. And so there isn't a lot of good ways to let them learn good coping skills. And this program is designed to do that, to let them know that their feelings of anger or whatever it is they have are normal for what they're going through. And I think that they see that there's other children having those same feelings, it helps them. And it gives them a healthier way to deal with those feelings. Kids really don't want to be set apart. And especially when you have the loss of someone very close to you, that does. You know, everyone's like, that's the kid who lost their mom, or that, you know, and that adds to that as well, because you kind of just want to fit in with everybody. And so that really is a huge part of this, is helping those kids. But then it also allows the parents who maybe struggle to talk about it, give them a way into those conversations. Because while the kids are meeting, so are the parents. And, you know, Jenny and them are working with them to help them know how to deal with their kids, learn their own coping, because we also know adults can choose bad habits, you know what I mean, to cope with things. And so our hope is that on the ride home, you know, when everyone's together, that gives us an opportunity to maybe talk about things that they struggle to talk about.
Oh, that's great. That seems like a very healthy approach. Jenny, is there a time limit? Like, you know, if somebody's got a child who's 13 and has noticed, you know, there's just been a loss within the past 5 years, could they still participate in this?
Of course. Okay. Yeah, there's no time limit. We're happy to have kids and families wherever they're at in their process and their experience. And we honor each family wherever they're at. Some families are very, you know, some families are very private. And so we really try to respect whatever kind of level they want our involvement at. Sometimes when families don't talk about things and that's not part of their comfort level, that's okay too. And we respect that. We never want to bring up things or trouble a family further. So wherever they're at.
How many children do you have participating right now?
So we're actually holding one tonight, and we have, between the parents and the kids, it's about 16 people. And so it's about 10 kids. And then we have our volunteers, too. So we get a nice, pretty big group. We fill up the room.
Great. Could you grow this program to more, serving more children?
Yes, we could. And as a matter of fact, I'm happy because we have some new Hospice Alliance volunteers that are coming in, and they've expressed interest in joining the Connections program too. So I'm going to put together another training to get some more help with volunteers, probably after the holidays, and then we'll have more people to, and then we can expand.
Great.
I mean, that's our goal, is to reach all this. We know that there's more kids than the 10 we have tonight. We've contacted all the private and public schools in Kenosha and Racine County. We're trying to involve church groups and any of those ways, even funeral homes, because we know they've been exposed, obviously, to loss. Are grateful for this program to help get our word out.
Great. You are listening to WGTD HD 91.1. This is Community Matters. I'm Jenny Tunkies, and we're here today talking to the Connection Support Group planners, coordinators through Hospice Alliance in Kenosha. And this program is for Racine, Kenosha, Walworth County. And I imagine you probably
Even if someone from Illinois won it. I mean, we can't serve them care-wise, but it doesn't involve that. So we'd open it to anyone, absolutely.
Right. So tell me a little bit. You talked about the need for volunteers. Tell me a little bit about the volunteer training program. What does that involve? What does one need to have to help with this program?
Sure. So the Connections program volunteers need to be a Hospice Alliance volunteer first. And so they have a whole other set of volunteer training modules that they go through. And it's pretty flexible as far as when they do those things and kind of easy to access and so forth. And then if they express interest in becoming a Connections volunteer, then what I've done is I've done two separate ones. We have that's in person, and it's the more people you have, the longer it's going to be. But it's about 5 hours of in person training, and so it's pretty interactive, I would say. And I structured it so that it's also sort of a nice grief support and education training too, if that makes sense, at large. And then also sort of gearing it toward children and their average needs depending on their age and where they are in their lifespan.
Great. Mm-hmm. And does a volunteer have to be one who has experienced loss? I mean, it would, I guess, be kind of tough to find someone who's not had any loss, but is that a requirement or just...
No, it is not. I think we have several volunteers who wanted to do this who have had that, and that's what drew them, I think, to it. But it is not a requirement, no, at all. And I, many are, you know, have had a loss of some sort, but not of a child or some of those that you consider really most difficult, siblings, you know, things like that. And those kind of deaths that are not even necessarily part of the normal aging process. I mean, death is always difficult, but, you know, there are some that kind of throw us for a loop a little bit more than others. So, no, that would not be a requirement. And I just wanted to mention when she talked about the Hospice Alliance volunteers, having a volunteer orientation program is actually part of the hospice regulations. Going back to our grassroots of hospice, you know, that it was a volunteer-run organization. And we also, as a hospice, have to have like 5% of our patient care hours have to come from volunteers. So it's the program. Beth has done a great job designing how that looks to make it easier for busy people. And we are so grateful that they, you know, choose us to spend that free time with. But there are just certain things that have to be covered as a part of those regulations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, that's good to know. So, again, we're talking about Connections, a support group for children who've experienced the loss and their families who've experienced the loss of a loved one. Tell me a little bit about what kinds of activities one would do with what you described as the littles. Those are the smallest of your group.
Sure. For example, last month we talked about change and how change is inevitable for all of us. And so the volunteers follow the curriculum and they talked a little bit about what is change and what does that mean? What does it look like in school? What does it look like for the weather? What does it look like on very sort of generic terms? And then they sort of focus into, well, what has changed in your house since your person is gone? And so there were all kinds of answers. There were, you know, everything from, you know, some of the kids are no longer able to be in their extracurriculars now. They have less money. They have, there's, you know, you can imagine all the things that change. And so they talked about that a little bit, keeping it on an age-appropriate level. And then there's always an activity. So the little kids made a leaf, and so out of construction paper, and they glittered them and glued stuff and put stickers on it and colored it, and so that it's fun, and that leaf represents change. And so that's what that was about. And then we have a whole bunch of other games, too, that are fun, and we're learning that the you know, I have been sort of facilitating the adult, the parent group, while the kids are in their groups, and by the time a really good conversation gets going with the adults, the kids are just about ready to be done because their attention spans are, you know, not the same. So it's interesting. So we have some other fillers, too, that the kids are doing. Yeah.
Maybe running around a little bit.
Yeah,
a little
energy stuff. Yeah, and then someone comes and knocks on the door and says, you know, are you guys about ready? And the adults, of course, have so much to unload and pass back and forth. So, yeah.
It sounds like you sometimes these children will reveal other needs. Is there an opportunity then for you to approach the parent or guardian with some ways to bridge gaps, like maybe, you know, if they need a ride and can't get it to activities or funds, can you connect them with other resources?
Sure. I think that's just part of being a good community member, you know, first of all. And then secondly, if something is more in the realm of needing more support or more active intervention, then I can provide referrals.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of activities do you do with the middles?
Mm-hmm. So same theme, October was change. It's the same theme for the curriculum for each of the age groups. It's just that each activity is geared a little bit differently toward their level of understanding and
right,
development.
They won't want to make a leaf.
Right, right. So although sometimes, yes, crafts tend to be popular. So tonight we have, because it's November, we're going to talk about some things that we're thankful for and positives, some of the positives. So we're focusing on memories tonight. We'll be making memory treasure boxes. I was surprised last year, some of the activities that we did as far as, you know, we did a little bit of memory work with making little beaded necklaces and bracelets and things like that, and everybody loved it. They just had a blast, and they wanted to make more and more, you know. So I've been pleasantly surprised by the age that kids are, and they want to do this fun stuff. They even want to do some of those things that the younger kids are doing because it's fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially glitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun.
He loves glitter. And then with the teens, I forgot, what's the oldest?
Yes, teens. Okay. So 13 to 18, you know. So more talking, of course. But also there's a project in there, too, if they want to. You know, they're going to go a little bit more in depth if they want to. But sometimes you might have that reverse experience, too, where sometimes the older kids are a little quieter and don't want to talk. So that's okay. Then we'll just do something else. There's freedom to sort of, you know, you can wiggle around and do something else if what's planned isn't working, you know, or if, of course.
Yeah. That has to be something you talk about with volunteers all the time. Probably at all three age levels is what to do about the sullen, doesn't want to participate.
We had a great experience last month. You know, we've had different experiences where sometimes kids come in. You know, anytime you try something for the first time, it's a little scary and just unexpected. But we've had some situations last year, too, where kids were a little bit nervous and quiet. And then by the end of the night, they're talking to the other kids their age, they're smiling. It's neat. Yeah.
And are there some techniques you can use to get a child to talk or participate, or you just kind of, you said you meet them where they're at? So.
Yeah, I would never place too much emphasis on trying to make anyone talk.
Mm-hmm. For participants.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, that's one of our ground rules that we talk about, is that if someone doesn't want to talk, they just say, I pass. That's okay. We respect that. That's really important to honor.
But I bet you've seen, you talked about sometimes just in an evening. Tell me some of the positives you've seen over the course of several weeks in some children.
Sure. So you just sort of notice that the kids become a little more relaxed. They've now met other kids and other families who are also navigating through this, and so they don't feel alone, and so naturally they just feel more comfortable, and then they start to engage, and they joke around more, you know, and then they get their inside jokes with each other, and you know, sometimes with me too, and they're really, you know, so we have fun. By the end of the year last year, we were, you know, they were asking me to do funny faces, and you know, that the adult, you know, it gets fun. The kids are really, really fun, and they start to relax.
Do they make some connections where, you know, they've developed friendships and see each other when the program's over?
Yeah. Last year we found out that some of the kids that were involved were actually going to be going to the same middle school. They were coming from different elementary schools, and so they were so excited to find out that they would be going to the same school, not only the same school, but they both were in band, you know, so they met each other, and they got to kind of just chit-chat about that, and then when they went to school, they knew somebody else there already.
Great.
You know? Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Wonderful. So again, we are talking to the folks from Hospice Alliance about their connection support group for children and families who've experienced the loss of a loved one. And I'm happy to have Rita Hagen, Executive Director of Hospice Alliance, and Jenny Sikowski, who's the bereavement coordinator and oversees this program that's open to anyone in this region. And typically, it's held at the Thursday of every month through October through May, 5 to 7:45 p.m. at Hospice Alliance. Are you technically in Pleasant Prairie?
Yes.
Okay. In Pleasant Prairie, in the backyard of Target and
right.
JCPenney. Tell me a little bit about the family, the adults, the I guess the bigs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you said that that's typically what the group you're working with. Is the focus of those discussions while the children are doing crafts and sharing and opening up, is the focus on the children, or do they talk about where they're at as well?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. So sure, we talk about where they're at too, because how can you really be available for your own family members if you're not sort of a little bit in touch with where you're at yourself. So we do that. And then we talk too about how's it going with the kids and what's working for you. Are there certain things that are working? Are there certain things that are backfiring with different methods and different things that you're doing with your kids? And I think that the adults like to talk about, they like to hear different stories of, you know, let's say they're just having a challenging time with, maybe they have little kids who are acting out, and maybe it's correlated with the death. And it's reassuring to hear that other parents are also experiencing this with their kids too, that that's really a typical outcome when something happens in a family. So it's a lot of reassurance and sharing with each other. Again, same for adults. No one ever has to talk. If you just want to listen, you can just be there and listen.
They don't get to make leaves and decorate them?
Well, they can if they want. I actually am going to try. We'll see tonight if the adults want to make memory boxes too, because why not? And, you know, it's important. So maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah. And it probably does then give them something to a way to talk about
it does.
The situation with their child, you know, as they talk about the memory box. And
it's nice for a grown-up to be able to say to the younger kids, look, I made one too, and let's do this together, maybe, or this is what I'm going to put in mine. What are you going to put in yours? That kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So holidays coming up, do you find that this is particularly a difficult time for the children and the adults as well? And are there extra things they can do to take care of themselves?
I think in my experience with hospice in general for the last 10 years, yes, this is a tough time for people. There are lots of expectations that family members have and the community has, and it's hard to participate in all of those things when you're not feeling like yourself, and you're feeling sad, and you don't feel good. So it's tough for people to keep engaging the way that they always did. So yes, we provide a lot of support during this time.
Mm-hmm. Rita, what guidance do you have for people who are at this stage and coming up to the holidays? Any thing you would offer for them to think about or do as they're trying to get through this?
I think honestly is really to do just what they feel like. I think when most of us give advice, we all have good intentions. And so sometimes we think we know what's best for that person, but really, you know, if you have a huge crowd, a large family, and it's just going to be too much for you, then you just need to kindly say, I just can't do it. And I think that's where a lot of pressure comes, because they want to keep things the same, but it's not the same. And so I think it's best for people really to do just what they feel like. And I think for all of us who love those people, we have to let them do that. I mean, we want to make sure they're okay, and obviously mm-hmm. they're safe and all those things. But what we sometimes think would be best for them isn't really what is best for them.
Mm-hmm. Also, to lean on the supports that you know you do have, and for a lot of people, that's their faith and maybe their religious tradition. That's a huge cornerstone for lots of people. So there's that, and then you know maybe you have some supportive friends who do understand and can just sort of walk through it with you, neighbors. Use what has been helpful to you in the past.
Great. Mm-hmm. That's great guidance to be okay with saying where you're at and maybe saying no. Mm-hmm. So that you can make sure that you're getting through these difficult times. And it's probably, this may be a good time for parents and family members to assess if they're not involved in this group right now, during the holidays, to assess where their children are at with dealing with loss and maybe opening them up to participating in the Connections program. So do you need, we talked about the need for volunteers. Do you also need other items, the craft things? I mean, is there any?
I don't think anything specifics, a gift card to a Joann Fabrics or someplace like that where we could get craft items are always helpful as we need it. Like I said, we did receive that grant, which was wonderful, and we're always looking for another opportunity. But that is a nice way if people are looking for something, is because then we can kind of use it for what we need when Jenny knows what project she's going to do, what craft, and we look and see what do we have and how many more do we need and that kind of thing.
Right, great. Mm-hmm. So people should certainly consider participating if they have children who have experienced a loss. Mm-hmm. Consider volunteering. You need lots of volunteers to grow this program. Do you have any children on a waiting list right now that...
No, we don't have a waiting list.
Okay, well, that's... That's a positive, but obviously more need just really get the word out.
Yes.
Right. We really want to be able to separate the kids by age, and so we need to make sure that we have enough volunteers to be able to do that so that we always have...
Two volunteers with every group.
With every group,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We always want there to be more than one volunteer per age group.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And any lessons that you feel like you've learned from the children participating in this in the last couple of years that you've been offering it, Jenny?
Oh, gosh, yes. Lots of lessons. I think probably one of the most important lessons is that, people are where they are for their reasons. And that goes for adults and children. And so for me, it's always been just sort of personal autonomy and allowing people to go at whatever pace they're at and just to really respect that and to be open to the fact that their way may not be what what you think would be helpful, like Rita said before, but you know, it's there as an option if you'd like it. And so that's that. There are so many lessons that I've learned, and also a big lesson that I learned too was that the kids are listening. They are really, really listening when the adults are talking in their families and in school and everywhere. So they're picking up and sort of taking information that they hear from grown-ups, and then they interpret that in their brains in a very different way than adults do. So I've heard some stories from the kids, from their points of view on how certain things happened, which really, if you step back, really isn't how it appeared that things happened, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just a really different perspective. So just to have a lot of understanding toward the kids, because they also don't have the life experience that adults have yet either. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. So it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. Again, we are talking to Hospice Alliance about their connection support group for children and families who've experienced the loss of a loved one. If someone wants to volunteer, donate, get involved, what should they do?
You can go to our website at hospicealliance.org. We have information on there about volunteering and donations. We'll have a wish list that's up there. We also give us a call, 262-652-4400. And tell the receptionist what you're interested in. If that's volunteering, they'll make sure they connect you with Beth. If it's about the program and you have questions about connections, they'll make sure they get you to Jenny. So that would be your two easiest ways.
And Jenny, people should call you and learn more about the program if they want to participate.
Yes, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Great. Anything else you want to add about connections? Or hospice. Again, it's hospicealliance.org. And the support group is Connections. It's the third Thursday of every month, October through May, from 5 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. at Hospice Alliance. And maybe give that address again.
The physical address?
Mm-hmm.
10220 Prairie Ridge Boulevard. And that's in Pleasant Prairie.
Great. Well, I am so pleased and really enjoyed our conversation today. Rita Hagen, Executive Director of Hospice Alliance, and Jenny Sikowski, who's Bereavement Coordinator for Hospice Alliance. Thank you both for being here on Community Matters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click Shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
I'm Gregory Berg, and I hope that you can join me for Monday's morning show here on WGTD. It's always fun when we get to talk about dinosaurs with Dr. Thomas Carr, who heads up the paleontology program at Carthage College. He'll be coming to our studio on Monday with several of his students who made a presentation at the most recent meeting of the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology. Join us for Monday's morning show beginning just after 8 o'clock.
Support for classical music comes from the UW Parkside Choir, presenting Glenn Burley's Ungaza Saba, a 7-movement work celebrating the commutarian values and principles of Kwanzaa, this Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. Tickets at the door or online at uwp.edu/the Rita.
Well, this week on WGTD's Christmas Noon Tunes, we're featuring the music of the Kenosha Pops Concert Band, featuring WGTD's Greg Berg. At the end of every WGTD Midday Newscast, we feature a Christmas song by a local artist. So join us for Christmas Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
Here's a WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service. We can expect sunny skies today. Highs will be near 30. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 20. And for tomorrow, it'll be sunny, a bit warmer, highs near 40. The current temperature is 30 degrees.